Amen. Well, good to see everybody. I'm glad y'all didn't stop short and miss out on the last week. Everybody's coming out. Some of you had perfect attendance. And I've had, I don't know how many people, probably maybe 50% of you actually coming up and saying, you know, I would have had perfect attendance except this. Yeah, but you didn't. See, you didn't. So it doesn't matter what the reasons are. I like what Bill Shear, pastor in Tulsa, said. One of his famous quotes, he says, "No excuses, no explanations. The fruit of your life speaks for itself." What a beautiful quote. I think we should just post that one on our fridge and like in our mirror and read it every day. I'm saying that jokingly because I did not have perfect attendance either. I'm not going to give reasons why. It was important, but I didn't have it. But some of you did, which I just think is very impressive. But I had a lot of people, a lot of you have come up to me and said, even though I wasn't here, I didn't miss one. So a lot of people watching online and catching up. And tonight, we're going to do sort of a semester review. We're going to go back through each week and briefly just touch on the things that we covered and just sort of remind ourselves. And I think, you know, it's important for what we're trying to do with what Grow, Train, and Advance is. It's very important that you understand that this is not just information that you hear one time and then you never need to hear it again. All right, it's something that needs to be studied. It's something that needs to be meditated on. And it's really something that it would do us good to go back through this material in the summer while we're off, slowly, and not just hear it for knowledge's sake, but to hear it and go, is that applying and is that working in my life? Because if it's just knowledge, you're not moving the needle as far as you think you are. I mean, knowledge is helpful. It does, you know, just gaining knowledge does end up affecting our behavior. But it would do us good to go through each of these things and really look at some of these areas and go, am I actually applying these things in my life? And how do I, you know, change my behavior in some of these areas? So again, just understand with what Grow, Train, and Advance is, okay, it's not just information that we're trying to amass and that we're trying to get more knowledgeable about. We want to actually be applying this in our life. And I'm reminded of when we first started this church. when we bought this building was being leased to Weight Watchers. And so we kept that lease, and so they kept going every week, and I think they met on Wednesday mornings, and so I'd be up here at the office, and I'd poke my head in, and they probably leased this building for, I don't know, maybe 4 years or so, four or five years while we had it, and I poked my head in every week, and I started jokingly thinking to myself, I wonder if they should rename the name of the group. Because I'm not seeing anybody, and actually Weight Watchers, I started thinking, that might be an appropriate name. We're just watching our weight. I'm not seeing any improvement. Now, look, y'all got to have a sense of humor when y'all come to church. Don't act like y'all so uptight on this, okay? I'm just saying, there was everybody in there could have told you every single thing you needed to do how to lose weight. Like, they were experts on it, except the part that mattered most, which was applying it in their own life, right? So Christians can do the same thing. Christians can do the same thing where we get really smart. Some of y'all are enjoying this too much. But Christians can do the same thing where we get really smart and we amass knowledge. And boy, we could tell anybody else how to do it. We get it. We get all the knowledge part. But it's the applying it where we fall short many times. And what I've seen change that is actually what we talked about in week one, which was having a growth mindset. Having a growth mindset, meaning I don't changing the mindset with which I come to church, changing the mindset with which particularly I show up for GTA, I'm here to grow, train, and advance. That advance part. I want to advance. I want to move forward. And again, I think for a lot of people that come to church, they have to change that mindset. They have to, it's a physical adjustment they have to make in their mind of how they receive and take in information when the Word of God is being preached. So I encourage you to take this home. It's all on YouTube. It's on our website. And go back through it again in the summer. We're going to be off during the summer. Go back through it. I know I've spoken to people that have told me on a particular sermon, they're like, and I've listened to that 3 or 4 times already, because they understand. When I hear that, I realize that there's a person, that person understands how change comes. You know, the Word of God says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And sometimes you need to hear that, hear it, and meditate on it until your mind changes in that area. I know I've done that. There are sermons, particular sermons in my life that I have saved that I will listen to over and over and over and over again, because every time I listen to it, it inspires me in a particular direction. So, growth mindset. I want to encourage you, if you have gone through Grow, Train, and Advance, to keep that growth mindset. Never stop pushing for growth. There's a certain type of Christian that I've dealt with that they don't want to be prodded. They don't want to be pushed towards growth. Sometimes it comes out of insecurity. Like when they start hearing areas that they need to change, they feel bad about themselves. That's why I told y'all in the beginning, if you remember, I was like, that's the Grow, Train, and Advance is going to do that. That's what this is for. It is to challenge. There is no growth without that challenging part. So I want to encourage you, don't be afraid of that, and let's keep that growth mindset as we go forward and look forward to next semester. Okay, week 2, we talked about what a true disciple is, and we went slowly through the Word of God and what Jesus had to say defines a true disciple. What does true discipleship look like? We looked at how Jesus specifically said, he said, listen, if you're going to be my disciple, I just want you to know up front that the largest part of what is going to happen in your life by following me is going to look like a sword more than it looks like anything else. And what does a sword do? It cuts, it divides, it separates. And it was Jesus that said, don't think that I came to bring peace and unity. See, that's what people say all the time that don't know Jesus. Well, Jesus came to preach love. Well, let's just read what Jesus said. He did come to preach love to the world, but what he really helped us understand was that when you accept me into your life, it's going to have the same effect that a sword has. It's going to cut, separate, and divide things out of your life, and even sometimes that is relationally. That was what he ended up using. He says that when you follow me, sometimes a man's enemies will be those of his own household. In other words, it may separate you father against child. It may separate you husband against wife when you truly become a follower of me, because your allegiance lies with me, and those other relationships that want to be have that allegiance in your life, sometimes they feel like they've been sort of displaced, right? And if you've ever been in that position where you've had to choose between God and something else really valuable in your life, maybe you've had to choose between God and a relationship or a friendship, or between God and money, or fill in the blank. But he said, I have that effect. I'm going for a true disciple. That is going to be the effect that Jesus has in your life. And what it will come down to is, if you love this world more than me, if you love comfort more than me, if you love even family more than me, he says, you are not worthy of being my disciple. So we learned about that cutting and that sword that comes in. Jesus said it this way. This was his words. He said, whoever does not renounce all that he has is not worthy of being my disciple. Again, this was so important for GTA because I don't think it's something that we're taught a whole lot when we come to Christ. A lot of times we're not, this scenario is not laid out for people when they come to Christ, that hey, when you sign up to become a Christian, you are renouncing everything that you have. It doesn't mean you will lose it all on day one when you choose to follow Christ. It's not that God takes it from you. It's that sometimes it will cost you that because those things will be at odds. And if those things are at odds, what are you gonna choose? I mean, for me, I would say that following Christ has enhanced almost every area of my life, not necessarily taken away. It's certainly there are things that I've sacrificed and laid down and things that have been cut out of my life. But for example, my marriage and family, well, that's been enhanced by my relationship with God, you know. But are there things I had to say no to? Are there things I had to lay down? Has it cost me time, money, energy, relationships? Yes, yes, it has. And so that's what he means by renounce, is he means you put everything on the table and you go, I'm willing, if I have to give it all up. And how many of you know that it is more costly to be a servant of Jesus Christ in some parts of the world than it is here in America? And so, you know, we take that and we go, we're blessed to live in the nation that we live in. So when we say renounce, it doesn't always mean the same thing that it does for everyone else, but it's still true in every person's life. Week three, we got into the complete disciple, and I showed you guys the graph. And what we came up with here was talking about the five areas that I see present in a believer's life when they are crushing it, when they are just killing it, they are excelling as a believer, as a Christian. Again, I've been in church ministry my whole, you know, in and around church ministry my whole life, and at every church you just see believers that are just, they're killing it, they're just crushing it on every side. They're the elite of the other Christians, they're the best of the best. And when I begin to look at their life and go, what things are present in those people's lives? These were the five things that I see. And of course, we verified these things with Scripture. But number one is church connection. They are extremely loyal, committed, and connected to a local church. Number two was private devotion, their private devotional life. Their prayer life is paramount. It is a priority. It is thriving in their life. The biggest part of who they are is an outflow of their private devotional life. I've never seen a Christian that is thriving whose prayer life is not. I have seen a lot of Christians fake like they are thriving, but that's only revealed later that they weren't, because they were actually shallow and empty. And when the storm came, or the trials of life, or the difficulty, they come crashing down because there's no foundation, there's no root there. So private devotion is critical. Thirdly, we talked about submission to call, meaning that for a disciple who is all in, their life is built and centered around their submission to the call of God on their life. And we talked about the difference between the common call of God and the unique call. We get into that later. Number four, we talked about lifestyle and holy living. And then number five, connection to a leader/mentor in your life. And so those were the five areas. And then through the semester, we began to get into each one of those things on a different level. So week four, we started with church connection, and we began to look at why that was so critical. Week five, we were still on church connection, but we started talking about the purpose of the church. What is the purpose of the church? And we talked about the purpose of the church being worship, and then also to make disciples. We define discipleship as an ongoing process of effectively imparting all of Jesus' teachings, character, and beliefs to an individual or group of people. In week six, we were still on church connection, and we talked about the church needing to prepare the body of Christ, and that this ends up being one of the main calls of the church, is to prep and prepare believers for what we see coming, you know, on the horizon. And so we talked about the parable of the 10 virgins. And we talked about, we spent that entire sermon on the parable of the 10 virgins. And the big lesson that came out of that was that they thought they were overprepared, but it turned out that they actually only had just enough oil to make it. The ones that made it, they thought they were going in overprepared, but it ended up in the end, they barely had enough just to make it. And remember, Jesus was using this as an illustration of what the end times is going to be like. And what he was effectively telling us is that of the large group, there's going to be a huge portion that is completely not prepared. They think they have enough, but they're going to find out that they don't. And then there's another group that they think they're overprepared, and they're going to find out, wow, this took everything out of me that I had. And that's what the end times are going to be like. And so a big part of the church is to help prepare people for that. I mean, I feel the weight of that call and that burden as a pastor to make sure that the church of Jesus Christ that I'm responsible for, the part that I'm responsible for, is prepared and ready for whatever is coming on this earth. Because how many of you know that the Holy Spirit knows in advance what's coming? And so then it makes sense that he would prepare us for that. Why? Because he wants us to thrive. He doesn't want us to struggle and fall by the wayside and burn out and crash and burn underneath the pressure and the weight of things. He wants us to thrive. So my kind of worldview as a pastor is to, through private devotion, stay connected to the Holy Spirit and pray and find out what ingredients does the church need? What ingredients are we missing? What ingredients do we need to focus on so that we're ready and fulfilled and prepared to thrive in whatever's coming on the earth? I don't want to say thrive in the end times because I don't know if it's the end times like that, but it's irregardless, whatever's coming on the world, we need to be prepared to walk through that and thrive in that. And so that's a huge part of what the church is. The church is not here to entertain you. All right, the church is not here to prepare sermons that are funny or they make you laugh or they make you feel good or none of that. It's not the purpose of the church. Now, a lot of people, the Bible says, will have itching ears, and that's that they're not interested in grow training and advancing. They're not interested in being prepared. Their whole worldview of what church is wrong, and so they just come to church and they just want to hear a sermon that they walk out feeling good. Right. Oh, that was interesting. That was good. Oh, that was funny, man. That preacher's funny. You know, he makes me laugh. That's good stuff. You walk out, okay. But what if our military acted like that? What if the people that are supposed to serve, protect our nation, protect our cities, what if that's when they were going to training, that's how it was? They were just, let's get us a general that's real funny. He's a real good communicator, and he makes us laugh. That's not the goal, right? And so it's a misunderstanding of what the church is, what sermons are, what the role of the pastor is, what the role of church members are. So we're going back to square one. We're going back to the basics. And we're having to remind ourselves, hey, we've lost sight of what the church is, what pastors are, what church members are. We've lost sight of that. So in my view, Grow, Train, and Advance is a realigning of some of those things. It is a realigning of those things. And if when I'm preaching, I don't feel like the alignment is happening, then you may see me just kind of turn up the heat a little bit. You may see me stay there and hang out on it for a few more weeks until I see the needle moving. Because again, I'm not just preaching. I am trying to get information in you that is changing you and preparing you and challenging you for this life and for whatever's coming on this world. So that's a big part of the church. I learned this very early on when we started pastoring the church, that everybody comes into the church with an expectation of what they think the church is supposed to be. Everybody comes into the church with an expectation of what they think the pastor is supposed to be. And that can be difficult, because you may have several hundred people and everybody has a different idea of what the church is supposed to be, who the pastor's supposed to be, who the pastor's wife is supposed to be. Like they all have ideas of, because they experienced it at another church, and they go, well, you're supposed to be like this, or, oh, at my last church, they did it like this. Look, I can't lead like that. The church can't lead like that. Our primary concern can't be what every little person thinks the church should be or the pastor should be. Our primary concern for all of us, by the way, ought to be, what does Jesus say the church is? What does Jesus expect the church to be? What does Jesus expect the pastor to be? Because I'm going to stand before him and I'm going to give an account for what I did and how I stewarded this church. And guess what? None of you will be there with me as I'm giving that account. I'm not going to be able to say, well, you know, mama didn't like the way I did things, and so I tried to listen to her. We said, well, you should have listened to me. Right? But it's not just me. We're all going to stand before God. And I believe we're going to give an account of how we handled and how we treated the bride of Christ and how we fulfilled our role and our part in the body of Christ. So that's why we spent a lot of time there. We spent a lot of time talking about the church. The next week, week seven, we got into, still on Church Connection, we got into the ideal church member. Some of you remember that sermon well, because we spent a lot of times talking about what the ideal, perfect church member looks like. And I remember saying several times, remember, this is the ideal. This is the highest standard. I'm not saying that every church member is going to reach this, but this is what we're striving for. And so we talked about a lot of those things. But in the beginning of that sermon, I gave a few things of how I see the church. And this is what I said. I said, One Life Church is a military base in enemy territory. That's how I see the church. First and foremost, One Life Church is a military base in enemy territory. Because when I look around Alexandria, or just about any city, you will see darkness everywhere you turn. You will see wickedness, and you will see the results of sin and wickedness everywhere you turn. Everywhere you turn, you will see drug addiction. You will see brokenness. If you are in any kind of law enforcement, you see it more than the average person, but it's all around us. And the church, Jesus takes the church and he sets it right in the middle of that, and he says, spread light all around you. Take salt and spread it all around you. And so the idea of what the church should be is all the believers, all the disciples should be gathering here weekly and sometimes bi-weekly to grow, train, advance, get filled up, and then what? Go out of this military base into the world, taking the light of the gospel, taking the message of Jesus, taking the gospel out into a lost, broken, and dying world. That's the church. And if you're not doing that, you're not on mission. If you're not doing that, if we're not doing that, then we're baggage. If we're not doing that, then we are a weight to the mission. But we need believers that are picking that mission up, and they're saying, yes, I will grow, train, and advance, and then I will carry that out into the world. That's what we're trying to create here. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're spending time on this. It's so that the church can be what Jesus created it to be. Jesus did not put One Life Church in Alexandria so that we could all gather and hug each other and just, man, have the greatest life inside the four walls and like smile and hug. And man, our life is great, but everyone else out there is suffering and dying, and then we just keep it to ourselves, right? The purpose of the church is to train, to come in here, get filled up, get full of the Spirit of God, get full of knowledge, wisdom, and then go out full of light, full of salt, everywhere that we go. And that's going to look different for every believer. Okay, I'm not saying go out of here and go be a street preacher like standing on the corner on a soapbox, you know, trying to win people to Jesus. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying where you work, in your family, in your schools, in the marketplace, that you're taking this out with you. So One Life Church is a military base in enemy territory. That base has commanders. We have as a group, we have assignments and missions from God. There are things that need to be protected. There are things that need to be destroyed, attacked, and broken down. You are the army, and the army must be trained, equipped, and deployed. And so that is why we are here. That's what we're doing. Okay? Week 8, we got into private devotion, and we began talking about every disciple having a dedicated devotional time. We talked about this being the bedrock and foundation of any disciple's life. We talked about the concept of daily bread when God gave us manna in the wilderness as an example and a type of how we are to receive daily bread through prayer each day. We also spent some time talking about prayerless Christians and what they look like, what their life looks like when a Christian's life is prayerless. And then we described what a healthy prayer life looks like. Now, I only spent 1 week on that because as a church, that topic is probably addressed more in this church than any other topic that we talk about. And so for the last, I don't know, maybe 8 years, I have these huge graphs where I keep track of every sermon that I preach and what category it falls into. So I'll have like broad categories, for example, like faith, or broad categories like prayer, or broad categories like, you know, evangelism. And every sermon that I preach falls into one of those categories. So when I say that we talk about prayer more than any other topic, I'm not guessing. I know that that is a fact. And one of the reasons is because every year when we do the fast, when we do prayer and fasting, we spend weeks and before and during talking about prayer. And we're doing the prayer nights and how critical and important it is. So I know we talk about this subject a lot, so I only spent 1 week on it. But I want to just reiterate that I do see this one thing as being the most important part of your growth and your training and your development. And if you're going to do any one thing that we've talked about in Grow, Train, and Advance, this is the one thing that you cannot leave off. This is the one thing that you cannot skimp on. You have to have a daily prayer life. Without it, everything else we're talking about is mute. Without it, you at best, you will be able to sort of fake some of these things. You have to have a dedicated time where you are alone with God. I'm not going to go back into all the things I talked about with it being 15 minutes or 20 and what you do and journaling or worshiping or reading or podcasting. I'm not going to go back into all that. It's all there in the sermon. That's why I said go back and listen to it. But the one thing, if you are serious about growing, training, and advancing, the one thing you have to have is private devotion. Because I'll say this, when you have that right, the Holy Spirit will be the one that is helping you do this on a daily basis. And 90% of my growing and advancing has come from my personal prayer life, from my own time being put into this. And that, in that sense, Sunday and Wednesday is meant to be a supplement, not the main course, if that makes sense. Sunday and Wednesday is meant to, encourage, give you the word, fill you up, but daily you're going before God, you and Him, and the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and His word, and He's doing exactly what we're doing here on a daily basis. Now, it's something you grow in. It doesn't start like that on day one. I hear this all the time. Well, I tried, I got bored, you know, fell asleep. Well, you got to do it more than 3 days. You know, you got to do it more than 3 weeks. It has to be a lifestyle commitment. And I would just love to see every person in here say, this is going to be part of my life. I'm making a lifestyle commitment, and I'm committing to God to be here at this time every day, no matter what. And I'm showing up no matter what. And until you do that, throw Grow, Train, and Advance out the door, because your increasing in that and your developing will be that big. You have to have the private devotion. But because I talk on it so much, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it here. And I didn't spend a lot of time on it in Grow Training Advanced, but we'll probably come back to it in later semesters. Okay, in week 9, we talked about lifestyle and holiness behavior. We talked about the need for Christians to live a holy life, and that holiness is really just alignment with God's Word. We talked about and defined what sin, transgression, iniquity, and rebellion are, and then we ended up defining that later as well, but we talked about the differences in those things. These are Bible words that are used to describe transgression, deviations from God's Word, sin, transgression, iniquity, and rebellion. They are progressive. As you progress through it, it gets worse and worse. We talked about what temptation is. And we talked about how for a true disciple, there should not be an area of your life where you have known sin and you're just existing with that sin in your life. If a believer has known sin, meaning that would be transgression, right? A boundary that you're aware of, that you know you're crossing. A believer should not have known sin in their life. They should be fighting that, attacking that at all costs. So that's the idea of the holiness part. And then week 10, we stayed on lifestyle and holiness, but we began to talk about the narrow path versus the wide path. We talked about what the narrow path looked like versus the wide path. We discussed how the culture is on a wide path, and if you're going to be on the narrow path, you're going to be choosing the opposite many times of what you see the culture choosing. We talked about how if we see a large portion or a large group of people going a particular direction, doing a lot of things, that ought to cause us to pause and rethink, should we be doing that thing? If the largest portion of people are doing that, should we be doing it? Because that seems like wide path, right? And a lot of times narrow path, you're going to look around and there's not going to be a lot of people on that path. Now, if you're part of a good church body, hopefully you look around and you see a lot of believers going with you on that narrow path. But as far as the world at large, you're not going to see a lot of people going that direction. And what we ended up getting into on that one was in week 11, we started talking about specifically family and what we would call narrow path parenting. And we talked about, how to raise your children and family in this generation, and that what narrow path parenting is going to look like. And then Jen and I did a podcast called Narrow Path Parenting. If you missed that and you're raising kids, it's critical. Please go listen to it. Listen to that sermon and the podcast that accompanied it. It was very, very important. And basically in both of those, the sermon and the podcast, we just kind of talked about how we've done things. And not saying that our way is the only way, not saying it's not like up there with Scripture, it's not like up there, we're not holding it to that standard. We're just saying we think these are some good ideas and these are some things that we did that we think worked and that are important. And, you may not can do all of them. You may pray about it and feel you have a different way. I'm fine with that. I don't care. I just wanted to make it clear that this is what we've done, and this is what we think worked. And I guess the biggest thing I want to just reiterate on that is, as I look at our church and the church in general, I'm not happy. I'm not content with the level of success or the rate of success that we're having with our young people. I would like to see more teenagers that are coming out of our homes on fire for God, that have a prayer life, that are living in holiness, that haven't violated themselves through sexual perversion and sexual experiences. I would like to see kids that are coming out not bound, but free from sin, that understand the call of God on their life, that maybe some of them are going into the ministry, that are pursuing the call of God on their life. If not that, then they're going into the marketplace and they're being a light in that way. But I'm not happy with the rate of success that we are seeing in that area. And what I've realized is the times have changed. The culture has changed. We all know that. No one would deny with that. We all look at when we were back in school and you go, man, things have changed. The world has changed. School has changed. Culture has changed. Like, everything's changed. I mean, most of us, when we were back in high school, they barely had internet, much less smartphones, depending on how old you are. But the world has changed completely. But what hasn't changed is our strategy. This is why we did this. This is why we talked about this. Because what I see regularly is, yeah, we know that the culture has changed. We know that the darkness level has changed. But we haven't updated our strategy to match that. We just are doing the same things that as parents that we were doing 20 and 30 years ago. But we haven't updated and changed our strategy to match the current world that we're living in. And that's why I think that's why we're seeing so many teenagers that are not making it. Now, you may look at yours and say, they're making it. But my definition of making it is maybe different than some. Because, again, I'm not happy. If my child comes out of my house lukewarm, you know, barely having a relationship with God, having all kinds of secret sins and things going on in their life, I'm not happy with that. Maybe our standard is just way different. Maybe our standard is maybe just way too low then. But for a large part of our teenagers, they are coming out in a way where I feel like they're just barely hanging on. They're like one, you know, just breath away from crossing over into the world and into hell. That's not my definition of success, and I hope it's not yours. I want to see a church full of people that make raising their children a top priority, a higher priority than success in their business, a higher priority than making money, a higher priority than just about anything else in your life, because it's your number one calling is to raise godly kids. Amen? If you have them. Not everybody has them. But if you have them and you brought them into this world by default, that's your number one calling, right up there with everything else that God's called us to do, but it's up there pretty high. So we talked about that in week 11. Week 12, we went back to submission to call. We talked about the common and the unique call of God. We looked at all the qualifications for elders and deacons that God lays out in the church. Week 13, we were on submission to call as well. We continued talking about the common and unique call of God. And we further clarified what I think the common call is for the average person, which is love God, love people, love your local church, and be an amazing spouse, parent, or grandparent if that's the situation you find yourself in. Week 14, we talked again about the common versus unique call. We discussed many passages that mention simple, trivial things that seem to matter to God, like feeding the hungry, giving the thirsty to drink. We mentioned all the insignificant people that Paul mentions in Scripture that helped him do his call. Week 15, we got into church discipline, as it's called, but really just talking about the role of sin in the church and how it has to be dealt with. We talked about the need that sometimes Scripture mandates that, you know, sin not just be left alone in the church. A person particularly who is sinning, or a group of people who are sinning or causing division or bringing false teaching, that they have to be confronted and they have to be dealt with. Week 16, I was not here, and Pastor Brandon taught on humility. Very good sermon. Week 17, we went back to church discipline, and we continued talking about what is sin. This was just last week. What is sin? Why does it have to be dealt with in the church? What is the process for dealing with it in the church? And we talked about how it's an escalating process that's meant to bring, first of all, healing and restoration to the person that is sinning, but then also to protect the church, and then also to honor God, because sin dishonors God. And we talked about that the entire body of Christ participates in this process. It's not just the pastor, but the entire body should be thinking like this and should be on the same page, that we don't want to have a church that just tolerates sin. And there are people in our influence group, maybe friends, maybe family members, that we may need to have conversations with and challenge from time to time, going, hey, you're a believer, this shouldn't be in your life. You know, let's talk about this. We can't just leave that up to the staff and pastors, because we don't know of everything. But all of us have a call to uphold this standard in the church. Amen? And then week 18 is tonight, and we did semester review. So a lot of information. You can see very quickly the need to go back through some of this, and we're just scratching the surface. We're just scratching the surface of the things that we need to get into. We're not finished tonight, by the way, so don't, this, we still got 30 minutes, so we're not, I got a lot of stuff we can go over, so I'm finished with my review, but that's not the whole thing. Some of you are already snapping pens, closing books, you know, what I wanted to do now is, I actually wanted Jen to come up, because I was, you know, sometimes, you hear from me all the time, but so many times, Jen and I are at home, you know, having these conversations, and while you don't necessarily hear directly from her, you don't realize that her thoughts and her view and her input is valuable, because we're having these conversations. A lot of times she's the first person to hear what I'm thinking about these things, and so many times, you know, she's saying things and I'm like, man, that's good. Like, yeah, I'm going to add that. And so, you know, some of the things I bring in, it may not even be me. You know, I'm like just stealing that from her. So, babe, why don't you come up? I just wanted you to, not really anything particular, but just you've talked so much about through this process, you know, with GTA, what it meant to you and what you see God doing in our church. So just share with us.
Good evening. I never like hearing my voice in my own ears. It's weird. I first have to say, and excuse me, I'm in a season of life where tears come, but I really appreciate you. And I know he doesn't like this, but also as the wife, I get to see the prayer, the effort. Even with GTA, there was a buildup about 3 to 6 months before where he started saying, I really feel like I have something for the church. I don't know how exactly God's going to get this to them. I want to make sure it's in love. It's funny to listen to him even talk about, he's got a chart of 8 years of sermons and where they all go. I'm just laughing like, that is so you. But it shows the effort. It shows the intentionality. And we appreciate you. I love you. And it was funny. I know, I wonder sometimes if people think as the pastor's wife or the in-laws or the parents, well, do y'all get bored? No, I do not get bored. I've said this many times. He is my pastor. And when he steps into this role, I'm leaning in. And I think that this group is doing, I could feel that all semester, that we're sitting on the edge of our seats to hear what God wants to say to us through our pastor. And we feel that and we appreciate that. And I just think that when a group of people do that and really lean in, he happens to be an awesome man that we all like. We love him, even if he sword, you know, jabs us a bit. We love it. We happen to like him. But even if we didn't like him, it's like God is speaking. And when God is speaking and you lean into that, then he can minister to you. And so every week, I felt like my pen was on fire. I am surprised at how the Holy Spirit can speak to you as an individual. In your season, I hope you know, when you see in Scripture, you see this with the elders. I want to be leaning in and learning from my pastor all the way to the end of my race. And we actually, I pick on a little bit too on Mr. Jerome. It was so precious. Mr. Jerome would not like this either. So just stare at me, not him. To see, I think he might, he's definitely our top five oldest members of One Life. And he would come through that door, check in at check-in, in his 80s, you guys, and a notebook. I mean, precious. So to see our church come and say, okay, yes, we are with our pastor. We are with the vision that God has, and we're all going to grow. And so every week I'm writing and thinking. Sometimes me and Amber would cry. I could tell. I'm like, I know who's crying with me right now. It's Amber and Shauna, if she's physically here. I know Shauna's had to do a lot online. But sometimes pastor will be talking, and I can't believe the anointing that God right now, and you can feel it. And so I just really appreciate you guys leaning in, because I don't know another word. You know, like it'd be to me, I have not been in a concert since Toby Mac. It's been a while, okay. But if you went to a concert and they're pouring out their heart, they're giving, you know, they got hundreds of thousands of dollars wrapped up, and everyone was just standing there not doing anything, you would know. Everyone would know. And so when you showed up every single week, I mean, perfect attendance for some, I mean, that. You said 75 people had came, 10 or more. I mean, that is crazy. We have done Wednesdays, and every time about March, it just starts a slow trickle. And you guys stayed steady. So it just was so encouraging, and to know that God is moving on you guys. And it's a confirmation. You know, if you've done anything you've put effort into, and then when you get that thing organized and people show up, you're like, okay, I knew this was the right thing. But you guys showing up confirms it, and week after week. And so I appreciate that, and I appreciate Pastor for enduring and praying. If you don't know, he does, it's just so organized, but he studies, and then Wednesdays he goes everything. Wednesdays are like his prep day for the next Sunday service, but he'll go back over this, and that's the day we can't talk to him, really. We're like, he's like, don't interrupt me, don't sidetrack me, you know, don't bring me business today. And it was funny, he would say, okay, this is the direction. I don't get inside information on purpose. Part of it is I would be bored if he went through the whole sermon. I'd be sitting here, I've already heard all this, right? But then part of it is because he's like, I don't want any input. I just want to hear from the Lord. So there is that time when we conversate, and he's like, okay. And I don't even know. Sometimes he'll be talking like, oh, I told him that. So I'll be like, hey. No. But when he's talking, I want it, surprisingly, we had a conversation when he was talking about being when you were talking about private devotion. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, okay, when you say every day, is that 7 days a week or 5 days a week? Or how does that, like, even, and so I don't know if any of y'all had that same question, but there were some things in the private devotion particularly where I was like, I have to tighten up ship. I have to get better. And being a wife and a mother, I don't know where men have all this time to podcast and to listen to audiobooks. I think once my daughter is driving, maybe I'll have time. So I was like, I got to stop using that as an excuse. And like, don't interrupt me for 15 minutes. I'm listening to pot. You would think when they're 16 and 17, no, they still interrupt their mother. So some of that where I'm like, okay, I can challenge myself. I'm going to make sure. And so I'm going to take that challenge, Pastor, this summer to go through and really in my notes. And I would encourage you where you felt your pen was on fire. I can't take notes fast enough. That's probably the area that you need to look at. It is an hour. Is it an hour and a half or an hour? So it's an hour. You know, if you're like me, I can break it up. But I would go through those, especially where the Holy Spirit was really, you're like, this, I really need to camp out here. So thank you for giving it 100%.
Well, this is a little surprise. You know, I know so many of you. I've prayed with so many of you. I know some of you more personal than others, working with the praise team. I just want to say thank you for just being supportive. And honestly, I thought I was very mature. But through this Grow, Train, and Advance, it challenged me. And I realized that there's an infinite understanding and wisdom that you can get from God. All we know on our best day is a grain of sand. And so I am so thankful that we are going to be prepared. I believe we're going to be prepared for what's coming. And I believe he did two things. I was praying for him one day and praying for the church. And out of Revelation 19, I'm just going to touch on it. There's two things. One was gross sin that had gripped the earth. The other in the same chapter was this beautiful bride that had prepared herself for the marriage supper of the Lamb. I prayed that today. I was saying, God, I want to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb. I am so thankful for the anointing and the instruction to be ready on the day that we see Jesus. To be ready when this darkness hits, this deception hits. And I don't really think we understand because I don't think we've ever been this way before. How wonderful to be in a church that you can grow, train, advance, and be loved. You people are real, and I love you all. And thank you so much for being here because it is a challenge. It's a challenge to get up. It rained today. It was pouring down rain, and here they were. I walk in, and there's the praise team. You know, you guys are faithful. Thank you. But just know, we are being prepared for something so amazing. You will look back and say, thank you. It's kind of like Noah's kids. I always think Noah's kids and Noah's Ark. I said, Dad, thank you that we built that. Because people probably made fun of him. You know, what are you talking about? And they were like, God, we're so embarrassed having to build this ark. This is embarrassing. God, they're laughing at us. But then that one drop of rain began to fall or came up. I don't know if it came up from the ground or down. And then God shut that door. We are building an ark. We're getting ready for this end time. So thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Hey, I want you guys to know that I don't think anyone prays for you as much as she does. So you need to be very thankful. I do pray for you, but I don't think I pray for you as much as she does. So thank you for all of those prayers and everything. So, but guys, we love you guys. I hope you understand, you know, what we're trying to do here. I want you to understand what we're trying to build and what we're trying to do, and we need each of you to do that. We need each and every person in here. And I believe that the group that we have here is just the beginning of that. I look for a day where we have, you know, even larger groups and numbers of people that are coming in from the church at large, you know, understanding what we're trying to do, that have fully bought in to the vision that God has for the church.